hope you had a great 4th of July celebration of American independence, and I hope you prayed for our nation. Boy, do we need it. We got so many challenges. Spending some time in prayer for our nation is a healthy thing to do in this weekend. Today, we're going to continue a discussion, though, from Wednesday, as we were focusing on what we call affection in marriage. I wrote the book, Starve for Affection, Why We Crave It and Why It's Important. And if you missed the show, I hope you'll go back and listen. Because as I was sharing, 40 out of 100, 40% of people in the country are experiencing, according to research, national opinion research, are experiencing levels of dissatisfaction in their marriage. And the big thing is emotional disengagement, which another study shows leads to higher risk of mental health issues, including depression and anxiety. A lack of affection and emotional connection is often cited as a reason for infidelity and divorce. It's a big deal. And so we just want to spend the show today letting you hear why this is important based on what people are doing. So if you're looking for one thing you could start to do in your marriage, even though you don't feel like it, you want to start showing affection. Now, I hesitated to share this. I thought about it driving in. It was a spot that was left on our comment line by a woman. I don't know her name. I don't know where she is. All I'm going to ask you to do is pray for her after you hear this. She's desperate for affection in her life. And I share this to set up the show. I share this because I want you to see, and I know this is an extreme example, but to understand the power of affection and the power of not having affection in your marriage. So after we listen to this, we're going to turn the corner and hear these positive things of what people are doing, all right? But just take about, I think it's about a minute long, to hear her story, and then let's pray for her too, okay? Take a listen.
I don't know how you live in a loveless marriage. I've been doing it now for over maybe 8 to 10 years now. My husband will not have anything physical to do with me. He does give me kisses at the right times of day, and I'm getting ready to go into an adult care home. And I know he's glad, he's relieved that I'm not going to be here anymore. And it just hurts my heart so bad. I need someone to hold me, pray with me. Well, that's my problem, Dr. Randy. I'm sorry. I took up so much of your time. Thank you. Goodbye.
That's real life. And like I said, she left that comment knowing we could share it on the air, but you can pray for her. I don't know her name. I don't know where she is. God does. But I'll tell you what, that may be an extreme case, but some of you are feeling almost that desperate today. You can change someone's life. You can change your spouse's life today by just showing them the kind of affection they need. Whatever that is, it could be a back rub, a hug, a word of appreciation, a question, something that you know your spouse well enough. Isn't that worth having the time to do that, to build into your marriage? You say, well, I'm not sure where we're starting. Well, we gave you great ideas on Wednesday, and we got some more coming up the rest of the show. You ready? All right, we're turning the corner because we got things we want to share. They're going to take us to a productive point. Let's get started with Renee. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Good, good. Tell us, what have you learned about affection in your marriage?
Well, actually, I'm not married, but my sister was. And every time any occasion came up, I saw my brother-in-law come home and give her flowers, like, all the time, like, whatever occasion, he'll bring her flowers. And I just felt like, you know, I remember that, and it's like, wow, he really loved her, you know?
What did that mean to your sister?
Like, no matter what mood they were in or anything, it just kind of bring a smile, like, okay, you know, like, and then, the, you know, things would be good, you know, after maybe they got an argument or, you know, like,
yeah,
and or just whatever, you know. And
now, you shared this in past tense. You talk about their marriage in past tense. What happened?
She had passed away 4 years ago, and the flower shop that he went to all the time to get her flowers, they donated to her funeral. And I thought, wow, I mean, he gave her the best funeral too. And I'm like, you know, and that's how we ought to be, you know, always loving, giving our best.
Giving our best no matter what. That's it. Okay, Renee, I appreciate you sharing your story and about your sister and her husband and their marriage. And you know what? If we all knew our marriage was going to end like that, 6 months from now, how would we be different in the next 6 months? We should live every day as though that could be true, isn't it? Come on. And you say, well, you sound like one of those. I do, because it's reality. Never know. We live every day as though it's the last one. That's why intentional living is all about today. What one thing are you going to do today? We have no guarantee of tomorrow, and we can't change yesterday, but we can live today, and that's what's powerful. All right, Joanne, you're in Arizona. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Well, what's your one thing for this topic of affection and marriage?
Well, on July 3rd, 2013, my husband died. Mm-hmm. And he lives at home with an illness, and I was still working. And I still remember that day when I walked out of the house, he said to me, have a nice day. And that Sunday before, we were in church. And I felt his hand go on mine, and we worshiped together. But every time I have a bad day, I can still hear him say to me, have a good day.
Well, you reinforced the point, Joanne, I was just making. You never know the last time you're going to hold the hand. Give the kiss. Give a word of encouragement. Never know. Let's take a break, Jennifer. If you can get that, if you can clear the tears away from your eyes enough to see where we need to go in there. Thank you, Joanne. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
And the reality is our thinking gets us into trouble. That's why Paul says so much about our thinking. And in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy, think on such things. He tells us in Romans to be renewed in our minds as well, doesn't he? And so our thinking is something that gets us into trouble. So Paul says to us, before he goes into this thing about making your marriage work and submitting to one another and how you work your life, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. I'm convinced if we don't become renewed in the spirit of our minds, we will continually have problems with other people. Yeah, that's just a fact. That's not a Randy Carlson idea. I didn't come up with it. It's just just an observation. People who have that kind of thinking, stinking thinking takes you right into a hole, right? And if we're renewed in the spirit of our minds, which is interesting, it's the deep part of our thinking that we really focus on God's intention for our life and allow the Holy Spirit to move through our thinking. Lord, today, help me with my thinking. There's a prayer for the next 30 days. Lord, help me today to have the right kind of thoughts, to take captive those thoughts, which are keeping me from understanding your intention for my life, or in this case, for our marriage. That's what we're talking about. All right, we're on the focus of building affection in our marriage. Gavin is in Michigan. Yeah. Hey, Gavin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about this?
I learned a lot listening to your show. I don't even know where to start. Wife and I have been married 3 years, mm-hmm. and we've been on and off together for 15. She had a loss of her daughter, my stepdaughter, 10 years ago on July 4th.
Mm.
So with that going on and work and everything else, I was pretty much in zombie mode, just focused on what I needed to do, and I didn't consider her feelings as far as I'm not home. I'm coming home at 10, 9 o'clock every night, you know, working 10-hour days. I'm on the road 3 hours, hour and a half there, hour and a half back. So I've been listening to you guys for 3 hours a day for 2 months straight, minimum.
Good.
You know, the good Lord helped me out and realized, you know, we had a blowout. You know, it needed to happen. He was holding back some stuff because she didn't want to nag, and I was holding back stuff because I'm just, you know, sometimes I bottle it in and don't let it out, and we both had to vent. Mm-hmm. So we vented that night through the glory of God, and once we calmed down, I mean, I could go on and on and on about this, but I won't. We calmly talked and realized that, you know, we need to communicate more. We weren't talking, you know, and that's just the key, I guess. It's just open communication.
So how you doing now?
And doing great. I was in such a zombie mode, I didn't appreciate everything I had and everything that was in front of me. And then I've got a beautiful home on the river, and I wasn't coming home to it because she thought I was avoiding home. And subconsciously, I think I was, because I told her that. I said, well, why would I want to come home if you're just going to yell and scream at me?
Yep.
And that wasn't the case. It was the devil getting in, saying things and doing things, and you assume. And, you know, through the glory of God and just calming down, and, you know, I was going 90 miles an hour. Of course, she's like, what do you want, cocaine? I said, no, Jesus juice.
Mm.
Sorry, a little joke, because I was going, Mock, you know, just... Working that many hours, I just...
I'm interested, Gavin, you were saying you were listening to the radio 3 hours. How did it make a difference? I'm just curious because this is what we do. How did it make a difference being filled every day with that 3 hours a day with the music and the encouragement and the scripture and all that?
It made a very huge difference. Not only was I listening to you guys 3 hours a day minimum, I was also working at Calvin University at Hyman Library, which is a seminary library.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I was working on hollow ground for 2 months straight, and it took that and 3 hours a day to basically God pushing my face into our river for me to see the light. Literally, I mean, I fell in the river and asked him to wash all my sins away and just take it away, Lord. And basically, I was doing that every night, just jumping in the river after work and washing my sins away, Lord, help me. And through that over 2 months, I like to call it I'm more enlightened. You know, I ascended to a different level. I see things now more clearly. I understand things now more clearly. Everything that was taught to me through 10 years of man camp has all come together. And all I've been doing is just blessing people on the way to work, sharing his love. Doing whatever needs to be done to share his love. That's what he wants.
All right, Gavin, you're the man. Listen, he's just a man saying, listen, I was a zombie. I mean, some of you ever seen those zombie movies? I don't get it. I said, I don't want to see this. Anyway, just kind of wandering around as a dead man walking. And if you're feeling like a dead man or a dead woman walking in your marriage, pretty soon that kind of kills the marriage, doesn't it, in a relationship. And Gavin had this awakening and a realization, hey, God loves me, and I love it. He says, I jumped in the river and said, Lord, I'll wash it away. You know, the water didn't take it away, but his decision to allow God to take it away did, and that's a key. And I asked him the question about the radio, and I think that's sort of maybe a little selfish question, because this is what we do. I mean, we've dedicated our life to this 24 hours a day, bringing you music and hope and encouragement and how to live an intentional life in Christ. And that's why we do this show and the rest of the day, because we know we need this. What we put into our minds matter. And in a world that's filling your mind with all sorts of stuff, let's face it, the social media today is undermining, a lot of it is, undermining this next generation. I heard some staggering stats yesterday about the Generation Z and how they're being so filled with social media. It's creating anxiety and all, I mean, high levels just off the chart. And so when we fill our minds, this is what Paul's telling us. We got to fill our minds with the truth and be restored in the spirit of our minds. And this is a big part of marriage. If today we can help one person to say, hey, I want to fill my mind with the truth and God's intentional love, that's been worthwhile. All right. Thank you, Gavin. Keep listening. 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, 24 hours a day. We're here. Crystal in Georgia. Hi, Crystal. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. What's one thing in your marriage for affection?
Me and my husband have been married for 13 years, mm-hmm. and one of the things that we've recently started doing is when we get home from, you know, we both work full-time, so when we get home and before we start the kids, before we start doing all the things that cause our attention, we stop, we give each other a hug and a kiss, and, you know, we make eye contact with each other, we just to let each other know, like, hey, I see you, I love you, and now we can start all the things.
That's good. And the kids like it, but when they see it, what do they do?
Our two-year-old, when we hug, she comes over and, like, tries to get into the hug, too.
That's right.
Which is really cute, but they definitely see it, you know.
You know why she does? She does that because she knows there's something going on here.
Yeah.
When I see mom and dad hugging and kissing and being affectionate, I want to be a part of that because there's a bonding that goes on showing this is how families are to work. And let me just lay it out. If you're not doing this and you're letting your kids see affection in your marriage, you're not giving your kids the kind of information they need for the future in their own life. So the fact you're doing that is a powerful thing, Crystal. It really is.
Awesome. Well, right. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call. Have a great day in Middle Georgia today.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. Let's take a break. We're going to be back. We're talking, what does it mean to be intentional with showing affection in your marriage? I wrote a whole book called Starve for Affection. The research showed affection's a big deal. You know, how are we affecting each other in a positive way? I'll be right back.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And when you do, we'd love to talk to you. But by the way, I think our staff, you know, they're here today, day after, and they're love to talk to you during business hours, 888-888-1717. And if it's safe and securely anytime online, of course, at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. 40 out of 100 couples in a 2012 study by the National Opinion Research Center found that 40% are experiencing varying levels of dissatisfaction. Wow. And emotional disengagement, according to a 2017 published study from the Journal of Marriage and Family, indicate that emotional disengagement is a significant predictor of marital dissatisfaction that can often precede other issues in marriage, such as infidelity and divorce. So that's why we're talking about it, giving you some real hope. That's why we're here. We know the downside. We're focused on the upside. That's why we're here. Love to hear your story in our comment line, 888-888-1717.
My name is Danielle, and I just heard you on your radio station. You were talking about marriage and affection, and, well, almost four years ago was when I separated from my now ex-husband, and that's definitely something that was lacked. The definition of affection to me is knowing who your God is and that there is a God. End of our marriage, he told me that he didn't think he believes in a God. Showing affection is having a listening ear and always wanting to ask if she's okay, because the female is completely different from the male and how we were created. And the woman just wants to know that you're there with a listening ear. And then the affectionate part is, you know, having the 100% trust in them. And it goes two ways. And having teamwork, which will then lead to true, passionate, romantic affection. I pray that there are still men out there that have these qualities. It seems like basic, but sure is hard to find in my generation. Thank you.
Well, keep trusting the Lord. Pick carefully when you get married, right? You know, well, just a thought. One of the things you can look at, ladies, when you're dating, is how that guy you're dating treats his mother. If you see how he treats his mother, does he treat her with respect and care? Because you're likely going to get similar kind of stuff later on if you get married. In the dating stage, you're going to get the pursuer, which is usually a pretty good side of a person. The pursuer part of a guy is usually shows up decently, right? But how does he treat women in general, and how does he treat his mother? All right, enough of my psychology on that. Let's get back to the calls. We're hearing one thing making a difference in marriage. This is intentional living. We got one mission, helping you experience life as God intended. God intended for marriages to be affectionate and showing affection, receiving affection. It's free. It doesn't cost us a dime to do this in our marriage. Michael, appreciate your call, my friend. What's going on in your marriage?
Good afternoon, Dr. Carlson. First, I want to thank you for taking my call. Call you about 3 months ago.
Okay.
With my heart broken in a million and one pieces, because I have found out that my spouse, my wife of 8 years, she is maintaining a relationship through emails with a friend of her opposite sex. Hmm. So when I found out, I was just devastated. How can this be happening? Well, you know, you give me some great advice, and on top of that, you also send me the copy of the Starving
for Affection book. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What a tool that it had become for me and my wife. My wife and I, we believe that marriage is just not something you just throw away just because it's broken. You fix it. You work at it. So for us, man, it's working hard at the marriage, and not because it's a duty, but because if you love your wife, if you love your marriage, if you love God.
That's right.
Those things have to be in place. First of all, you have to have God in your life. Otherwise, nothing else matters.
That's right.
My wife and I, we have that, and we're just like any other couple. We have made bad choices, and we need to move forward. So that book that he was sending me, my wife and I, we start reading it, and he's like, my wife has as well. Is he writing about us here? Because he's such a great, great tool. I thank you again very much for that book.
You're welcome.
I have become like what was happening is just my wife needed some intimacy emotionally.
Yeah.
Needed to hear, you know, express herself about the kids, about the friend, all those things, you know. And I was like, well, honey, I got to work right now. I'll call you later. And then in turn, when I'll come home, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, hoping that dinner was ready and hopefully for some sexual intimacy also. But it was like, oh, obviously, no wonder she doesn't want to have sexual intimacy, because I was thinking, well, she's having another friend already, and obviously somebody's taking care of business,
yeah,
so to speak. But what was happening is that, like, there was no connection. You have to work hard on your marriage. We did not. We could be having all the sex we wanted, but it was no emotional intimacy. It didn't matter. It was just another routine activity.
That's right. That we get that all backwards in our culture today. That's a fulfillment of the relationship that's deep and godly and in the right order and marriage. And we turn that all upside down in the movies and in the culture, and we think that's the end game in relationships. And people being honest say, hey, that ain't so. All right, we're talking affection. Christina is joining us, I think, from Michigan. What's your one thing that your husband does to show affection, Christina?
I feel the most loved by my husband when I'm laying in bed and I cannot sleep, which is a real problem for me. And I ask him to tell me stories. And sometimes he, like, says no, because it's really hard for him to come up with something creative. So he just tells me this long, elaborate story filled with like ums and likes and you knows. But it's still really sweet to me because he's taking the time to like think that would make me smile when I can't sleep. Huh. And it works every single time. And I love it every single time. And it always makes me sleep with a smile on my face.
Fantastic. What attracted you to him when you first met him?
I don't know. I want to say that I went to a Christian college and I was looking for someone that was as solid as me. But then what ended up happening is that I needed someone to grow with me. So he wasn't as solid as I was, and I wasn't as solid as he was, and I thought he loved God more than I did. But it was this moment where I was talking to my friend, and I said, I think God is showing me how much he loves me through Rusty, because I don't think I'm capable of loving as much as he is. Mm. So it was just this amazing feeling when it just opened my eyes to, like, this is how much love is. Like, someone can love you as more than you love them.
That's great. Hey, Christina, thank you. It's a great way to kind of pull all this together. And by the way, if you just joined us for part of the show and you missed out what's going on here, I wrote a book called Starved for Affection, and it was based on the research that we discovered over and over from people saying that a lack of affection was a major, you know, problem in their marriage. And so did some research and wrote that book a few years ago. And we wanted to visit this topic today, and we did on Wednesday, just before the 4th, 2 days where we focused on this one thing. What is one thing going on in your marriage? How does your spouse show affection? And what's interesting, they were all simple things. A kiss, a hug, listening, telling stories, making me laugh. If this were an expensive thing, like, well, you know, I got to put this in the budget. This is going to be an extra $1,000 a month. I could see we could have a different discussion on how to do that. But this is cost you nothing. Except enough love to say, I care about my spouse, my marriage enough to figure out what one thing is important to them that shows them that I care and I can affect them in a positive way. And if you know your spouse, it may be words that you speak. It may be the flowers that you bring home. That's for some, not for all. It may be just helping out around the house and taking out the trash and giving a hug and a kiss and say, I love you. It may be words of appreciation. What is it that your spouse really appreciates that shows them that you care and that you love them? I'm Dr. Randy. We got to run. I hope you had a great 4th of July yesterday and a great, some of you are probably on vacation this weekend. I hope you have a safe time. Stay cool, different parts of the country. Stay cool. We got to run. I'll be back again next time. More intentional living. Love to hear from you on our comment line. This is the Intentional Living Center. We'll see you next time.